All right, well, that's the message series we're in right now. We're talking about how we can tune our hearts to hear from God. Some of you guys weren't even planning on coming to church today. Some of you, you smelled the smell of bacon, the aroma. Right? It's like, we don't have one here in Santa Cruz, but I love the In-N-Out Burger. They have like the best business model. Have you guys ever noticed this? Every In-N-Out Burger, they're right by the freeway. And now I think they plan it this way because every time you drive by, you can smell the smell. Have you noticed that? Anyone here? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. And so they must put their stores, you know, right where the wind blows, right onto the, or maybe they have fans or something, but it's the smell and you don't have a choice. You're driving and all of a sudden, pretty soon, you're just turning off at the off-ramp, right? You're being led by the smell. Today I want to talk about what's leading you. What is driving you? What is your bacon? In a world where there are many different voices competing for our attention, there is one that guides us, offering truth and direction. Jesus said in John 10, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And they follow me." When you think of God speaking to people, what do you think of? Maybe you think about Moses in front of the burning bush, or Abraham, or one of the prophets of old. Or maybe you think about Jake and Elwood, the Blues Brothers, standing there getting the message from God. We're putting the band back together again, right? Maybe for some it might be scary to think about the voice of God speaking to you like this, like thundering voice from heaven bringing condemnation. But when we look at the life of Jesus, we just did a series looking at the life of Jesus, the red letters, the words of Jesus. And when you look at his life, it shows us the Father. It shows us Jesus just has it. You know what I'm saying? He has the it factor. Everywhere he goes, he's being led. He's hearing God speak to him. And everywhere he goes, he changes everything. Lives are changed. People are healed. When he speaks, he's not just speaking as the words of a man, but he's speaking the very words of God. And then we look at the New Testament. We see the new believers in the New Testament, and everywhere they go, they're experiencing this supernatural sense of God's leading and God's presence. Jesus gives us a promise in John 16. He says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me and he will make it known to you." Right, so we have this picture that Jesus is painting for us that, in fact, right before that in John 16, he says, "It's better for you that I go." Right, so Jesus walks with his disciples. He's teaching them. He's healing the sick. He raises the dead. And then he's killed. He dies on the cross. He raises from the dead. And then he tells his disciples to wait. Tells them to wait for the Holy Spirit. There's this radical shift. When you look at the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon someone like Moses, or come upon David, great king, Or you read all these stories where the Spirit would speak something to someone, it would come upon somebody in this moment for an instance. But then there's this radical shift in the New Testament. When you read the second half of the Bible, there's this transition. And I call it the radical relocation of God. In the Old Testament, people are kind of like living in this mindset where God, it's like the God out there. There's still people today that function out of that mindset, that God is out there and we're over here. And then Jesus comes to divide history in half, right? 2017 years ago, Jesus comes and his name is what? Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. So this shift happens. God out there, Jesus comes to be God with us. And then Jesus says, it's better for you that I go so we can receive the Holy Spirit. There's this new dimension now where we can walk and we can live our life with the presence of God with us. It goes another step further. Acts chapter 2, 17, Peter is speaking and he quotes the prophet Joel and he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. So in the Old Testament, like the Spirit would come upon somebody for a specific thing. But now in the New Testament, there's this sense that God's forming the church to be this community of people that hear from God, that are being led by the Spirit of God. The it factor isn't an it, it's actually a person. It's the Spirit that we now have to guide us, to lead us, to speak truth into our lives. And I can tell you so many stories. I mean, if you come here to Hope, you might have heard us tell stories, or Joe or Chris or one of the other speakers, where we're like, yeah, you know, and I prayed and I felt like God was speaking this thing to me and went and did this. And you've heard us talk about how we heard God speak to us about starting a new church. And, you know, when you hear that, you might think, oh, that's great for those people, those pastors, those teachers, whatever. They're leaders in the church, and so they hear from God. But, you know, and we could tell you all these stories, but what I want you to experience that. I want you to experience that it factor in your life, that you can hear God's leading anywhere you are, any day, and you could tell stories about when God was leading you. So I want to talk today about how you can experience the it factor in your life. If you're following along on your notes, you can write, the first thing I want you to write down is expect. Expect it. Jesus said that if we ask that he'll give us the Spirit, that we can be led by God. Romans 8:14 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Right? So we have the it factor. We have the Spirit with us. Chances are you've already heard the Spirit speak to you. Sometimes it's in little things where you're in that conversation and you know you're not communicating very well with that other person, and you walk away and you have that sense in your spirit like, oh, I need to go back to that person. And sometimes we don't listen to that, and sometimes we do. And we go back and we apologize. Or when you make that decision to do something, and immediately afterwards you just know, okay, that was the wrong choice. Oftentimes as Christians, when we're facing big decisions, jobs, or we're going to move, these are the times where we really want to hear God speak to us. And I believe he does. And it doesn't mean he's going to like write it on the wall or like make some words in the shape of the clouds or something. But God will, by his Spirit, lead and guide us. And I want to encourage us to expect that, but not just in the big decisions. I think one of the keys here is that we learn to hear God's voice in the little things. We learn to pay attention and expect him to be speaking to us throughout the day, throughout the week, because we've got his Spirit. So I want to encourage us, expect it. Be aware and available for interruptions. I'm so glad I was aware and available. I was sensing some changes coming up for our family, and so I'm walking in Nicene marks by myself. I don't know how far, I was just deep up that trail. And I'm walking and I just couldn't shake this overwhelming sense that Jenny and I were supposed to start a new church in our home. And I'm so glad I didn't just shake that off. I'm so glad I didn't just, out of fear of failure or rejection, just go, oh, that's not God. There's no way. Right? I'm so glad I did the next thing. The next thing you want to do is not only do we expect it, but the next thing, you want to test it. So if you feel like you're hearing God speak to you, you want to make sure that it really is God. Because there's a lot of different competing voices, right? Some of us hear voices. My thoughts are just really loud sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And emotions, thoughts. Sometimes, there's just other pressures and, you know, people in our lives that want to speak into our lives and influence us. And so it's important that we test it. 1 John 4:1 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Okay? So don't believe it just because, you know, somebody comes up to you in a Jesus costume and says, Jesus is telling you to do this. Don't just believe it. You got to test it. And here's how. I want to give you just this. This could be a whole message in itself. I'm just going to give you a real quick version here. I think probably some of our upcoming weeks, we're going to get more into this. But here's just a quick ABC checklist, okay? How do I know it's God? Checkpoints. How do I know it's God? First thing is, does it agree with God? Write down agree on your notes. Does it agree with God? So does it line up with who God has revealed himself to be? Last week we talked about how God's given us his word, and every word of this is God-breathed. It's inspired by God. We have this to guide us, to direct us. We can always hear from God. And so when I'm hearing something, I'm sensing something, I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm called to start a new church. Does that agree with God? Does that line up with something that God would do? Right? Does it line up with Jesus' character? Right? What's going to be the fruit of that? Right? So these are some questions I want to ask. Hebrews chapter 12, 14 says that the word of God is active and alive, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of heart. Sometimes it's hard to divide what's my soul, my mind, my will and emotions from my spirit. What's the spirit saying to me? And it says that's what God's word does. That's why we have it. It's a double-edged sword, and we can separate what's really God and what's not. The second thing is, how does it relate to other things that God has shown us? There's some people that it bugs me sometimes when people throw the God word around, like, God told me to break up with you. I'm like, okay, thanks. Yeah, I'm over it. No, but, right? But God's not schizophrenic, okay? God isn't saying one thing and then next week changing his mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, it even tells us in the word, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's not like always changing his mind like some of us are, right? You know, we can be like that, but God's not like that. And that's the cool thing. And so it's always going to be, God's always going to be consistent. Real quick, the second thing, A is agree. The second thing, is it better than my thoughts? B is better, right? Better on your, is what I'm sensing, what I'm hearing, is it better, you know, because the Bible uses the word flesh, right? And that's kind of like for my selfish nature, right? Everyone's got it. We're all, no perfect people allowed, right? That's part of us, right? And Jesus came so that I could put to death that selfish nature and become alive by his spirit and have this new nature that looks like Jesus, right? So when I'm having these thoughts, when I have this sense, my flesh is always looking out for me in a selfish way, in a prideful way, right? That's always there. So when I'm processing something, I'm thinking, is this God? Does it sound like the old me or the new me? Is it better than my thoughts? Isaiah 55 verses 8-9 says, for my thoughts, speaking of God, are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, right? Declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So is it a higher thought than mine? I remember I was hanging out, we had some students here right in front of this bus stop, we're having sandwiches, and there's like this like gnarly looking East Side gang member at the bus stop. And I was thinking, man, that guy, I want to just keep him away from these teenagers that we're working with here. Like, I'm thinking, this guy doesn't look safe, right? He looks like he's been, like, just tweaked out on drugs. it's been a bad one. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm kind of looking out, and all of a sudden, one of the girls in the group, against my better judgment, goes up to him, and I out of the corner of my eye, I see her walking over there. She walks up to this guy and gives him a sandwich and says, hey, come over and have lunch with us. And I'm thinking, no. Right? And she comes over. She's like, I just felt like I was supposed to give him a sandwich. He comes over. He ends up, you know, and I'm like, me and Henry, we kind of like bookended him. Like, you know, he's sitting on one side and I sit on the other side. We're just kind of watching this guy. And we're like, what's this guy going to do? All of a sudden, the guy just starts opening up, telling us his life story. Tears are coming down his face. And he's like, I think I need to receive Jesus right now. Amen. We're like, all right. Like, so we pray, we give him a Bible. He takes his blue bandana, throws it in the trash, takes his blue shirt off, throws it in the trash, takes his Bible, hops on the bus. I never saw him again. And that had nothing to do with us. It was this girl who felt like God was leading her to give him a sandwich. It was a better idea than mine. You know what I'm saying? So like, if it's God's idea, it's going to be better. It's going to be higher than mine. And so when you have a thought, and this is as I've been preparing this message, I feel like whenever I do these messages, God's always like pointing out stuff in my own life where I'm like, oh yeah, I need to work on that. Like, this is the thing for me. Like, I've been having do you ever just have, like, stinky thoughts? Where your thoughts are just, like, you're not seeing the best in situations. And, like, this last week, I'm going on vacation pretty soon. Maybe I need to go on vacation. But, you know, just like, you know, I'm driving and someone cuts me off. And the thoughts in my mind, they're not lining up with God, what he's saying about that person, you know? So I'm like, okay. But, like, so is this my thoughts or is this God? So the third thing. So A, does it agree with God? B, is it better than my thoughts? And then C, is it consistent with confirmation? Write down consistent. Is it consistent? What is confirmation? This is kind of like a word that some of you may not have thought about or used this word before, but confirmation just means that it's confirmed. It's not just one person, one source, right? Like, if you want to know if something's true, it's good to go and like confirm that it's from a variety of sources, right? And so, when it comes to like, how do I confirm, how do I know it's God? The Bible talks about seeking wise counsel, right? There's wisdom in the counsel of many. And so like, who are the people that I respect? Who are the people that I trust, that who are mature, that I can go to? You know, sometimes circumstances will confirm. Sometimes maybe you've heard God speak something to you in the past. Like for me, I was like early 20s and that seed was planted in me. I always felt called to start a new church, you know? And it didn't happen for many years. But that calling was there. And so when I'm walking through Nicene Marks, I start feeling the sense like God's saying, now is the time. It was a confirmation. But then Jenny and I talked with her. I say, Jen, what do you, you know, because it involves her life too, right? And she's like, yeah, I feel like this is right, but we need to seek confirmation. So we asked if we could meet up with our pastors and have lunch. And Jenny, I love her. She has a stronger sense of discernment than I do sometimes. And so she just has this really keen sense of hearing God. And so she's like, I feel like we're supposed to go have lunch with our pastors, but not tell them what we feel like we're supposed to do, that they're going to say something that's going to like confirm this. Okay. So I went for it. We're having lunch with them. We're sitting across the table. I kid you not. They're like, have you guys ever thought about or prayed about starting a new church in Santa Cruz? Bing, 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 bing. Like, it's like there's these multiple places where God's confirming it. And so 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, a matter becomes clear after two or three witnesses give evidence. And he's referring to kind of the legal sense back then, but he's tying it into a spiritual sense. So there's this sense that it becomes clearer when it's confirmed. Does that make sense? Okay, so A, B, C. Agree? Is it better than my thoughts? Is it consistent with confirmation? Okay, so we want to expect God to speak to us. We want to test if we think God's speaking to us. And then the third thing, what do we do? I want to encourage you. Go for it. Write that down in your notes. Expect it. Test it, and then don't just think about it. Don't just talk about it. Don't just write a song about it. Don't just form a small group and discuss it. That's a lot of the stuff we do in church, you know. Do it. Go for it. Quick story. Jenny and I were riding our bikes to the old office on 41st, and I'm riding along, and all of a sudden I turn around, and she's like, she's gone. I don't know where she is, you know? And I'm like, we're going to be late, you know? Like, I'm thinking, man, we're going to be late. My staff's going to be bummed. I'm going to look stupid because I'm running late for my own staff meeting. And I look way back, and Jenny's like way, way, way back there, and she's like pulled off her bike, and she's talking to some girl at the bench. And I'm thinking, can she do this another time? I mean, and she was there, like, it was like, we're talking like 10, 15 minutes, and I'm standing there, I'm like kind of doing like the, you know, looking at my watch, like, oh man, what's going on, you know? And pretty soon I see like this woman's like crying, and she's got her hand on her shoulder. This is like right on East Cliff, you know, right in front of Pleasure Point, and she's got her hand on her shoulder, and she's praying with her, and I'm like, what's going on over there? So she finally, you know, leaves, and she comes over, and I'm like, I'm a little ticked, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, what? We have staff meeting. We're going to be late now, you know? I don't like being late. I'm one of those people. Like, I don't want to be late. And she's like, yeah, I just was writing, and I just felt like I was supposed to talk to that lady. And then she just started telling me what was going on, and she's been battling depression, and she was thinking about ending her own life. And then we started praying together, and she's like, Jenny's like, got to share her story of battling depression. And I'm like, okay, all right, that was God. All right, I'll just shut up now. You know, so like, we got to take that step. Sometimes you're going to feel like you might look stupid if God's speaking to you to like go talk to somebody or put it out there or take a step of faith. Like, I was afraid we were going to look dumb. Like, yeah, we're going to start a new church. Yay, no one's going to show up. You know, there was that thought in the back of my head, which was not the Holy Spirit. That was not God, right? And God's saying, go for it. And again, it's just not just the big things. I think we learn how to hear God's voice in the little things, the daily choices. And Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves, right? We're either going to be led by the Spirit or we'll be driven by something. Right? It's like the old, what do they call it? It's called The Tale of Two Wolves. You ever heard this story? A grandfather is talking with his grandson, and he says, there are two wolves inside of us, which are always at war with each other. One of them is a good wolf, which represents things like kindness, bravery, and love. The other one is a bad wolf, which represents things like greed, hatred, and fear. The grandson stops and thinks about it for a second. Then he looks at his grandfather and says, Grandfather, which one wins? The grandfather quietly replies, the one you feed. And I think that it's like that for all of us, right? There's these competing voices, but in a way, it's kind of like those wolves, right? And whichever one you feed, whatever voice you listen to and obey is the one that's going to grow more dominant. It's going to win out. And so that's why it's so important that we tune our ears to hear God. We listen to those quiet, you know, you might even think of it as like your conscience, but sometimes there's the Spirit is speaking to you and we don't want to ignore His voice. Amen? We want to take action. He will change your plans. He will change you if you're willing to act on His leading. And I want to encourage us, we need to trust Him. We need to trust God. We need to trust that He has our best interest at heart. When He's speaking to us, sometimes it won't even feel like it makes sense. But when you feel Him leading you to do something, do it. Take action. I'm so thankful I wasn't too scared to say yes to starting a church. I think God probably would have just brought somebody else out to do it, and I would have missed out on this opportunity to be able to see people change and come to know God. I'm so thankful I said yes. One last point before we go, just want to leave you with this. Last one thing is that not only do we want to expect God to speak to us, expect it, test it, go for it, but we also want to remember it. This is something that I need to work on more, to be intentional. When I hear God speaking something or somebody, that I write it down. And I have like a little notes on my phone. You guys have that? And it is really cool because there's been a bunch of times where like somebody's given us scripture. Just last week, there was no way of her knowing, but my mother-in-law Jenny's parents live in Hawaii, and she's driving through the pineapple fields coming from the North Shore, and all of a sudden she just has this sense that she's supposed to pray for me. And she's like, I'm driving, she didn't tell me this stuff later, but she felt like God was saying that I had some big decisions that I needed help with, needed wisdom, right? And it was so encouraging because at that exact same time, that same day, I had two really key meetings with specific people, and there were some big decisions that needed to happen. And so it's so encouraging to be able to go back and go, wow. And so I'm going to write that down in my phone that happened. She had a scripture and a song that she wanted me to listen to, you know. So I'm going to write that down, because later on what happens is maybe you're facing a fearful situation, or sometimes circumstances cause us to doubt, right? Is God good? Are you there? And it's so helpful to go back and read. In the Old Testament, they used to build monuments. They used to build altars, right? So they could go back. They walk by that all the time. And then they go back and they remember. Remember when God spoke that to us? Habakkuk 2:2 says, "Then the Lord replied, 'Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it.'" And in this particular instance, God was speaking something to the people that would come in the future. And so he was wanting them to write it down so they could take action, but that later on they'd be able to look back and see where God's hand was at work. I want to leave you with this. You're already being led. All the time, every day, you're being led. You're being driven already. And I want to repeat something I said earlier. If I'm not being led by the Spirit, I will be driven by something. If I'm not being led by the Spirit, I will be driven by something. If I'm not led by the Spirit, I'll be driven by my anxiety. I'll be driven by my selfish desires, my fear, my pride, my need for success. You name it, we could fill up the whole whiteboard with the stuff that we will be driven by. And we're already being led by those things. And we need to be available for God to interrupt and speak and give direction. Amen.